The Sportscast, April 9th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. That's right. We are also on Twitch, another hot item for sports, apparently. So we're on there as well. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net and also on our app, The Sportscast. We also are live on digital radio as we speak. Anyways, what a week of April. First week, a lot going on. National championship on Monday. A lot of question marks with Deshaun Watson. And, of course, a few news here and there. The Masters began yesterday. And joining us all the way both from Rochester, New York, Chandler Krista and cousin Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, San Diego. It's good to be here.
Chandler, welcome back. It's been a while. We finally nailed a date.
No, we've literally been trying to do this for like so long and we're always busy. I'm always in class. So you're always busy.
Yeah. I mean, Chandler, you're you're pretty much an adult. You graduated high school about a year ago, right?
I did. Yeah. Last year.
And there you go. And Ryan Chris has been graduated for 15 years.
At least. Yeah. 18 years.
18 years. Anyways, let's get into sports. I want to hear Ryan Krista's reaction over Baylor winning the college basketball March Madness National Championship.
At San Diego, this was the game that America wanted to see, number one and two, throughout the year. You know, they were supposed to play on December 5th, but a late COVID protocol canceled that game, which left us, desiring this game, and after the Gonzaga's dramatic win on Saturday and Baylor's easy victory against Houston, we were set up for the game, the game of the century, game of the year, whatever you want to call it, But what happened was, is that Baylor is extremely prepared, and what separates Baylor is that they play out every possession. They're well coached. They play tough defense. They space you out on offense and they make a ton of threes, which is kind of the recipe to beat any team, unless the, undefeated Gonzaga team. They hit them right off the bat, 9-0, and Gonzaga never rallied. It's kind of those things that you're watching and you're thinking, okay, the Zags are going to turn down. You're going to turn down. They made that late run in the first half to get it back within 10. And you thought, okay, we're going to start the second half. But there you go. Cook drills 2 3-pointers, and there you go. This is, obviously, personally, stings a little bit being a huge Zags guy. But on a whole, Baylor is such a unique story. Scott Drew took over his job, 18 years ago. And he took over a job that, wasn't just in bad shape. I think that would be an understatement. They got the closest thing to the death penalty that any program's gotten since the SMU football team. They could only, so what happened prior to Scott Drew taking the job is that one of the players killed another player and the coach covered it up. So, I mean, it was bizarre. It was weird, but and then Scott Drew being an up and coming coach, I think many people told him, you don't want this job. It's career suicide. But I think he just wanted that challenge, within a couple of years, they weren't just, they were competing, for Big 12 championships, and they finally got to that point, where they put it all together. And this is a matchup that could have happened last year in a championship. Both teams pretty much have almost identical teams. But Baylor, they just were, I think they were able to take away Gonzaga's strength, and that's their, interior scoring. They were taking away the drives. They took away the easy passes of Drew Timmy. And it has made it hard for Gonzaga to operate. 70 points is usually a number that, most college teams would be happy to get, but that was the lowest scoring output that Gonzaga had all year. It's just a testament to how good Baylor was on Monday as a whole, So they were definitely deserving to win the championship and being the best team in college basketball.
Texas is becoming a basketball state slowly but surely. Chandler, what was your reaction over Monday's game? I know it's been a couple of days, but what were your thoughts over this matchup
with Gonzaga losing Baylor? I actually watched the game. I thought it was actually a really good game. Like, I did not really care who won because, I mean, my bracket was messed up since the first game of the whole tournament. So, like, I had Gonzaga winning. And 54% of the brackets had Gonzaga winning the championship. But, like, that didn't happen, obviously. And, like, what I feel what happens with Gonzaga sometimes is, like, they go undefeated all year and they do all this stuff, but they don't win many championships. Like, they do really good. They go all the way to the championship or the Final Four, but they cannot pull it out. And I just don't know. Like, they have an amazing team. Like, they're one of the best teams in college basketball by far. But, like, when it comes down to the finals, it just – I don't know what happens for them. They just – I mean, give it up for them, though. Like, they were more of a tired of a team than Baylor because Baylor had that easy win against Houston, and then Gonzaga on later Saturday, like, they fought all the way to the wire, to the last shot to beat UCLA. So, like, they obviously had – Baylor had more rest coming into this game, and Gonzaga was a little bit more tired. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens next year.
I will agree. I know Gonzaga had an amazing game against UCLA. At first, we thought UCLA was going to win that matchup.
I kind of wish.
But yeah, went to overtime. Gonzaga got out of it. And I agree with Chandler. I think, you know, they have all this buzz, but when it comes to, you know, that game, they have to win the final championship. They just don't clinch at it. And Baylor had the advantage. But anyways, Ryan, before we head on to Justin Fields, overall this March Madness, what was your grade, A, B, C, D, or F?
I think my grade is just an A, you know, to pull off an event like this, you know, during, you know, COVID. I mean, you got to give an A for the organizers, you know, to put, you know, who put this on, you know, NCAA and your idea, you know, to do it all in one city, which is kind of a cool thing, you know, like, you know, when everything really opens up, you know, hopefully soon they, you know, go to this. Cause I can imagine going to one city and just being able to go to so many different basketball games, you know, that'd be such a cool idea.
You think they'll adapt to that, or you think they'll go back to four cities?
Well, I think they're going to go back. I mean, these things are so booked for so long in advance. If you go to NCAA basketball website, you know, you'll see that the tournament sites are booked, you know, for the next 8 or 9 years at least, you know, so. It won't be anytime soon. I think they can make adjustments, you know, if whatever. But I think for the next couple of years, I think they have to stick with their prior format. But I think you have to give an A to the players, you know, not just for the tournament, but just for being able to, you know, give us a college basketball season, you know, give us same thing with football, you know, the commitment they had, you know, to basically live in a bubble each and every day and not see their family and friends and just – really entertain us. Hats off to them.
Yeah, and I would have to say seeing teams like Alabama or Roberts, Abilene Christian, you know, shine.
That was amazing.
Wasn't it, Chandler? What are your thoughts about those teams?
Honestly, like, who would have thought that LBI and Christian would have beat Ohio State the first game of the tournament and knocked them out? Like, and Oral Roberts, didn't they go all the way to, like, the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 at least? I mean, I'm a huge Syracuse fan, and Syracuse, like, everyone thought they were not going to make the tournament. They were not going to be good, and then they did pretty well. Like, they made it to the Elite Eight, but, like, I really loved this tournament. I loved – it was so not fun not having it last year. It was really missed, and, like, I kind of like the idea of doing it all in one city. I feel like – I mean, I don't know. I feel like that they could continue doing that in the future because, like – it's a great idea if you really think about it. No team has to travel. You're all right there the whole time. And, like, I would like that to have be in one city, but allowing, like, full fan capacity.
Different concept, of course. We'll find out in 8 years as Ryan was saying in his previous comment. Let's move on to NFL mock draft, NFL draft day coming up in a few weeks. Of course, news yesterday came from The Athletic that Justin Fields will have another pro day, second pro day, scheduled to be on April 14th. The reason why is that Fields was scheduled on the same day as Mac Jones of Alabama, and the 49ers coaches were in Tuscaloosa, and Niners are expressing interest to see Justin Fields in person. Ryan, I mean, how significant is this? Can we see a Fields going on the third pick?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you really, you know, this is really, you know, the 49ers obviously moved up to that point because they want a quarterback. You know, this is, they're done. That over. So you really come down to two candidates. You got Mac Jones, who kind of didn't come out of nowhere last year. I mean, people who knew college football in Alabama knew how good this guy is, but he doesn't look the part maybe of a Justin Fields. He doesn't have that big arm, but you know what Mac Jones has is accuracy, and you know it didn't help that he didn't hurt that he had about four frisbee catching dogs that throw to every game, you know, which makes it very easy. But you know, he shot out during his pro day. But Justin Fields is a big, strong kid, you know, athletic. It's very intriguing, you know, and this is all in line that, you know, the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson at number two and Trevor Lawrence will go number one to the Jaguars. So that's kind of, you know, where we have to start before we talk about what the 49ers are doing. The NFL draft is always a quarterback draft. You know, people are going to go and make moves to get their quarterback because there's no position more greater in sports than a quarterback. So you have to nail that. And then you could see what, you know, the Falcons at the number four pick, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. You know, I think they're still kind of happy with Matt Ryan. So they could, you know, I think there's this idea, you know, whoever the 49ers pick, you know, the other guy is going to be a four and teams are going to want that position. So we're looking to see if the Falcons move on that.
Now, we'll stick with Ryan then to Chandler. But, Ryan, there is rumors that Broncos want to trade up. I believe the fourth spot is what they've been trying to aim for. Is that something you can see, or do you think they'll try to trade up or they don't trade up at all?
I could see every scenario in San Diego. You know, the idea, you know, this, you know, the new GM, George Patton, wants a quarterback because he wants his guy. You know, I don't, you know, Drew Locke was chosen by John Elway when he was a GM. And Drew Locke has been average at best. I, you know, if you ask Tyler Turner, he's been a dumpster fire. But
Highly critical.
Very highly critical. And we know he's not Justin Herbert. All right, Tyler, if you're listening.
He is probably, by the way.
But here's what I would say. You know, the Broncos are in need of a quarterback. But, you know, they also need to, you know, they could definitely shore up their offensive line by getting Sewell. And I think, you know, no matter who's a quarterback, you can't be on your back the whole time. And I think that's a lot of the issue Drew Lock has had is, you know, his protection, you know. So I could see him going a couple different ways. You know, I could see him still trying to pull in another veteran quarterback, you know, i.e. Nick Foles, to kind of pressure Drew Lock at least this year and then kind of move forward. Or you go back, you know, and you get a Kyle Trask, you know, later first round, second round, you know. So There's different options, you know. I trust this guy, you know, to, you know, make the best decision for the Broncos.
Chandler, what are your thoughts about the Niners? Possibly, who should have, I mean, my question to you is, who should the Niners get, Mac Jones or Justin Fields?
I mean, honestly, like, I feel like they could do good with either quarterback. Like, I like either quarterback. I think they both have huge potential. I'm a huge Clemson fan, so I'm a huge Trevor Lawrence guy. So I'm really happy Jacksonville is probably going to take him. I'm not going to change to be a Jaguars fan, though. But
Not enough, huh?
No. And I think the second pick is going to be – who has the second pick?
San Francisco 49ers.
It's
the New York Jets, which is probably going to be Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
I really like Zach Wilson. I've been watching like some of his highlights recently. That guy is a beast. That guy is coming from like a school that's like, it's Division I, but it's not one of your big schools like Alabama, Clemson, like Notre Dame, those big schools. It's BYU. Like, it's a good school, but that dude is just incredible. I mean, I like Justin Fields. I like Mac Jones. I think they're both, it's Ohio State and Alabama guys. Like, and I mean, I think the idea of doing the second pro day, I think it's a good idea because, like, he wants the 49ers coach to be there, obviously. And they watched his rival the first time. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Cowboys are going to win it all this year, though. So
we'll get to the Cowboys a little bit soon. Reason why Zach Wilson is the pick. They traded the New York Jets traded Sam Darnold to the Panthers.
Good move.
You do have a Teddy Bridgewater there, possibly maybe moving out. Ryan, what are your thoughts over this move? Is this the place Sam Darnold belongs?
I think it's a great trade for the, you know, Panthers. You think there's an option, you know, if they do want to keep Teddy Bridgewater as a backup or just try to push Sam Darnold. That's their choice. But, you know, this is a guy who I don't really ever – it's not a glamorous trade because I think there's this feeling that Sam Darnold is not that good. But he may not be that good, but if anybody's never gotten a fair shot at Sam Darnold, just because – he's never had the weapons around him. He's never had a really good team around him. You know, it's never been fair for him. So this, he's going to get an opportunity to play, I think, for a much better organization in the Panthers and a much better coach in Matt Rhule. He's going to give them a chance. You know, again, you know, he's going to a tough division. You know, you're going against, you know, every year you're going to go against Tom Brady now and, you know, Jameis Winston for the Saints slash, you know, Taysom Hill. And then you got
they're not that good, though.
So it's going to be hard games to win for them, you know. But I do like this pick because it's, you know, it's a safe pick. You know what you're going to get, you know, rather than, you know, reaching for a quarterback that may be better than Sanders, but you may just fall flat on your face.
Chandler, Krista, Dallas Cowboys have the 10th spot. I see a lot of Patrick Surtain going there. Who do you think they should get?
Is that the cornerback from Alabama?
From is LSU, right, yes. Ryan? No, Alabama.
No, it's Alabama. Alabama.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a good pick. They need a cornerback. I think that's a good pick, but the Cowboys are going to be explosive this year with Dak Prescott coming back, so I'm excited about that. And Ezekiel Elliott, hopefully he does something this year. And, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Something to definitely look at, of course, the – NFL draft is towards the end of
April 29th. I mean,
end of the month, April 29th. Looking forward to it. We'll have a special show. Victor Rocha will be streaming during that night and see what happens. Of course, they say the draft starts at the number 3 pick, San Francisco 49ers. So we'll see how things develop. Who will trade up with the Broncos? Well, the Dolphins are, I mean, what I've been hearing, Ryan, the Dolphins are willing to trade that 6th spot and maybe get more leverage in the future.
Smart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, they do have their guy in Tua. You know, at least they're going to give him a shot. You know, so why don't you get more picks and more weapons, you know, fill up the holes. You know, you're in an uphill battle right now in that division to chase the Buffalo Bills. So you're gonna need as much in the arsenal as possible to, you know, keep up with the high flying ball.
Something we'll definitely be updating you guys throughout the week in a couple of weeks. It's probably been way more exciting than the NBA offseason and of course college basketball. At a certain point, the NFL news was getting up there than college basketball.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I mean, this is an NFL, you know, country. Santiago,
exactly.
You know. And the college basketball for most people is just an event in March to fill out a bracket. There's very few, you know, I would say basketball, college basketball junkies, you know, around. And so that's why, you know, information probably, you know, is scarce. Because, I mean, the regular season, while it's important to get in a tournament, doesn't have the splash that even a college football regular season has. So I think this is kind of off topic, but you know, when you US football and basketball, football's got that great regular season where every game matters, but you know, the postseason is kind of ho-hum, you know, other than, you know, the college football playoffs. You know, the bowl games are taking a hit. Well, you know, the college basketball regular season can kind of be ho-hum, but the tournament is awesome. So you kind of got that, you know, that mirror image of, you know, of the two sports.
Deshaun Watson, Houston Texans quarterback, is going through a lot of issues, 22 allegations of 20 different women are accusing Watson over sexual allegations. Of course, a lawyer yesterday has filed a motion for an emergency hearing to identify one of the women who filed a lawsuit under this the pseudonym Jane Doe, all taking place. Chandler, what do you think is going to happen with Watson? Do you think we'll see him play this season? Do you think all this commotion is just a money grab, or do you think this is a serious matter?
I personally think we're never going to see Deshaun Watson step on the football field again. I really think that could happen because, like, people keep on coming out every single day. And, like, to me, like, I mean, I believe most of it's true. Like, I mean, I would say I'm, like, pretty sure most of it's true because, like, but if it is 100% they find out it is true, like, that guy doesn't deserve to play football again. Like, he's dirt to me for doing that.
Ryan, Krista, what are your thoughts over Deshaun Watson in Houston? Of course, he does not want to play in the Texans at all. Texans don't want to give him up.
No,
how is all this kind of coming together, Ryan?
It's a bizarre offseason. You know, a couple months ago, you know, he made the stance he wants out of Houston, you know, and basically he's lining up the suitors and all the teams that, you know, are lining up to pick Fields and Mac Jones are trying to get Deshaun Watson. Now these allegations come out and they're like, uh-oh, we're not going to touch this guy. And now they're moving to drafting the quarterback out of college. So it's just kind of crazy, you know, and now, like Chandler said, if these things are true, it's going to be tough, at least for this year, you know, until legal matters get cleared up for him to come on the field. But, you know, he might have no choice eventually if he wants to play football to play for the Texans if they decide to keep him. So it's just a strange offseason for him, you know. I think, you know, and I don't know, if, you know, obviously I think the point is they're trying to get people not, you know, to give their names so then you're not just throwing out allegations that may or may not be true. It's a difficult subject. It's hard to, you know, you don't want to, you know, downgrade somebody who's allegation, but, you know, you want to make sure they're true before you give out the punishment.
Texans are definitely going through changes. New coach with David Culley and some new changes. They're going through letting go of some players, signing new players. Mark Ingram will be playing for the Texans. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's a big deal, but I'm saying.
You want to know what I'm kind of surprised about?
What?
I'm kind of surprised Houston hasn't let him go yet.
Oh, Deshaun Watson. Correct.
Yeah. I'm really surprised.
I guess they're more in the wait and see pattern, I would say. See what happens. I mean, what is the worst case scenario? I mean, they cut him completely, or
I think they should just cut all ties with him and he becomes
a free agent.
Free agent then, yeah.
Interesting.
Ooh. I don't think anyone pick him up though.
Yeah, that's one of the caveats. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of Ray Rice. It's a similar situation, but
yeah.
Well, the difference between Ray Rice is that we have video evidence of this. So it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. It was there, you know, we saw, you know, it came out on a Monday morning and he was never to be seen from by Monday afternoon, you know, so things move quick when you have video evidence. But until then, you know, it's hearsay. Yeah, you know, I don't know, they could cut him, you know, and I don't think it'd be the worst decision in the world, you know, but, you know, because that doesn't matter. This organization's rebuilding, you know, and they're going to be bad no whether Deshaun Watson's a quarterback or somebody else is a quarterback. So, you know, they're looking to go in a different route. So, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what the Texans do, especially with the upcoming draft, too, to see, you know, okay, you know, they don't think Deshaun's going to be on the team. Let's see what they go and moves they make.
Houston, yeah. Texans, a team that is in question mark. Of course, they have their backup quarterbacks, Ryan Finley and Tyrod Taylor. So we'll see what direction they will take.
Tyrod's going to have a comeback, I think.
Maybe. Former Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting because this is an interesting division. I'm really interested to see, you know, how quick Trevor Lawrence can turn the Jaguars around. Now you got Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. And, you know, the Titans are just, you never know what to expect. You know, they're Ryan Tannehill never puts up, you know, crazy stats.
The Titans are good.
A lot
are
of
real
people in free agency, you know.
And I was hearing
they're kind of a, you know, one-trip pony.
Yeah, and of course,
you can never really rely on a running back.
No, yeah, that's something that, you know, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of different teams. Of course, you know, Carolina Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater, I was hearing he could go to Chicago.
Really? Oh, yeah, I think Chicago is definitely in this weird position. I you know, as much as you harped on Chicago, everybody harps on Chicago last year, the team went to the playoffs with – that's how good their defense was, you know, with one of the worst offenses, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, and everybody's, you know, railing on Matt Nagy as a coach, but, wow, you know.
Kind of surprised Trubisky went to Buffalo.
Yes, Chandler, what are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I honestly think Mitchell Trubisky, like, I think he could have gone somewhere and be a starting quarterback, but he wanted to be the backup for Josh Allen. I kind of think, like, I heard he was offered more money to go somewhere else, but he turned that down. I mean, he probably wants to play with a good team. He hasn't played with a good team for a while, so he probably wants to be with a – because Buffalo is one of those teams you better watch out for.
Buffalo is a favorite for the AFC East. Once again, Josh Allen doing some wonders up in Buffalo. Last story of the show, Ryan Namari Burnett transfers from Texas Tech to Alabama basketball, another major move for the Reds.
Yeah, you know, Texas Tech had a rough couple of weeks here, you know, losing Chris Beard and that. You know, Nate Oates has got to go on down in the Tuscaloosa. Very familiar with him, you know, obviously being a former University of Buffalo basketball coach. You know, when he was a coach there, you know, really transformed the program. Brought in some really great players, still actually on the Bulls right now. But what he's done in Alabama, and he's, you know, really even changed up his coaching style. They got a very pro offensive attack, basically, where, you know, they shoot three-pointers and give you mid-range shots. So, you know, I think props to them, you know, and definitely a good pickup for the Crimson Tide.
Santiago.
Go ahead, Chandler. What's up?
We got to talk some baseball, remember?
Chandler, baseball, give us an update. Opening day was a few weeks ago. They had an issue with the All-Star game moving from Georgia to Colorado. But other than that, what's happening in Major League Baseball?
I mean, I'm a huge Phillies fan, so the Phillies are doing very good. I love Bryce Harper.
Have enough to win the World Series?
Sure. I don't see why not.
Ryan, how's your Red Sox doing?
They had a tough start against the Orioles the first series of the year. Went, you know, got swept, but now they've won four straight. They swept the Rays and got a victory yesterday on the road against the Orioles. So hopefully back in the right direction. But, yeah, baseball is back.
I love it.
I think our first sight of normalcy is down in Texas when you had a full stadium there.
Yes, that was so cool. I loved seeing that.
Great to see baseball back. And final thoughts on the Red Sox new uniforms.
Oh, the yellow ones. Yeah, it's good.
It's good enough. Being a little bit different. Anyways, let's head on to predictions. NBA, Grizzlies and Knicks. Chandler, who you got?
I'm going to the New York team, Santiago. Got to rep the New York team.
Ryan Christo?
I got the Knicks also.
Knicks having a great, tremendous season. This weekend is a Clasico, Ryan. Barcelona, Real Madrid is being played in Madrid. Who you got? Ryan? We'll go with Chandler. I guess Ryan went off the air a bit. Ryan's there.
Team Madrid in this one, but, you know, we'll see.
Chandler, Madrid, Barcelona.
I mean, the only soccer I've ever watched was the World
Cup. Oh, yes. I'm going to go with Madrid.
Okay.
I've only watched the World Cup, so I don't know anything about soccer, but, I mean, who's Messi play for?
Barcelona.
Yeah, then I go in for them.
That's a good pick. And this is for Ryan, I guess. Manchester United at Tottenham. Ryan's definitely in and out. Not a good call. But Chandler Chris is still around. But you can't pick neither of them. You have no idea who's
I mean, Manchester United, they sound like a team I've heard of. They sound good, right?
Yeah, they're a very good team. All right. I guess we'll just – I guess if Ryan doesn't come back, we'll just go with – we'll just keep going.
Right, let's keep on going.
Poll question of yesterday, which we did not have one today. Chandler, what is your favorite animal from the zoo? Choices are lion, red panda, the tiger, or the – I mean, giraffe or the tiger.
Oh, lions for sure.
Lion. Lions is
– Tiger. Tiger.
Oh, Ryan is tiger. And Man United at Tottenham?
Manchester United.
Okay. And, okay, so the results were tiger won at 40%. Giraffe was second at 33%. Lion came at third, 20%. And red panda came at 6.7%.
There you go.
There you have it. Chandler, what's the best way to reach you online?
Oh, boy. Facebook, Chandler Krista. I do not use Twitter. Twitter is not a thing for me.
That is fine with me. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about NFL mock drafts ideas?
Right now, probably Facebook. My name, Ryan Krista, and I'm also Coach_Krista_Sharks on Instagram.
Ryan, give us a quick update on the Sharks.
Yeah, so tomorrow is our, you know, we've had a couple of combines, one here in Rochester, one here in Dallas. So there is 64 teams in our league, and each team will get 2 draft picks in tomorrow's upcoming draft. So we'll see if we can find some future Sharks superstars here.
And what is the best way for people to watch this on TV or on the internet or some type of video or audio form?
So there won't be anything live tomorrow, but next Saturday, April 17th, they will be replaying the draft on YouTube TV. Search PBA draft. So that will be our featured format during the year to watch, keep up with the PBA. And
I wonder if the sportscast can get some exclusive coverage on that.
Maybe. We live. Should.
Hey, yeah. I'm willing to put some money into it. Anyway,
some of the players on here.
That too. We have some access. Ryan has the connections. Anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast1 on Twitter or at the sportscast.net. We're also on Instagram, the Sportscast1, on Twitch, the Sportscast1. Give us a follow. And if you're an Apple Podcast, give us a subscribe, a follow, and a review. Now you can only hit subscribe and a review. That's all you can do. Anyways, gentlemen, it was a pleasure to have the Krista family with us. I'll see you next time, maybe.
Yeah, thanks, Santiago.
All right, well, let's see you soon.